Okay, anyway, tonight I'd like us to look at how God disciplines His children through trials. Okay, we're going to be looking in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 11. First of all, let us pray. Father, we are so thankful for the time to come together in Your name and be able to study Your Word that teaches us how to live our lives and about what lies ahead in the future. Father, please help us to understand that we need to put our trust in You as we go through life's trials so that we can learn and grow and see what You want to do through us. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, first of all, let's look at the definition for a trial. A painful circumstance allowed by God to change my conduct and my character. Everybody want to read that aloud? A painful circumstance allowed by God to change my conduct and my character. Now, I think all of us know that our conduct is what we do. And in a deeper level, our character is who we are. Right, Jerry? Now let's look at the components of the definition of a trial. Number one, trials are extremely common for the purpose of proof by testing. Whose testing would that be? God's. All right. Number two, there are many kinds of trials. Big, small, brief, enduring, ones that frustrate us, devastate us, stretch us, and shatter us. Number three, everyone encounters trials. Number four, you are going through a trial right now. Number five, trials can be in the form of suffering, hardship, difficulty, and discipline. Now, I believe that everyone here is one of God's children. So that means you are going through a trial right now. We are all going through a trial of some size or shape, and it may be the most difficult aspect of our life at this time. It could be something physical. It could be a relationship. It could be economic hardship. It could be emotional. Or it could be circumstantial. Now, who do we think about when it comes to trials? That would be Job in my mind. Job endured more suffering than most people do in a lifetime. He lost his children. He lost his wealth. And he lost his health. I think the thing that strikes me the most about Job was the way he endured his trials. Well, I think you have heard the saying, the patience of Job. Well, Job earned this reputation by keeping his faith in God throughout his trials. Let's turn to Job 23:10, and someone please read it. But He knows the way that I take. When He has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. We can see in the first part of this verse, Job acknowledged that God allowed his trials to take place. And he submitted to them, which is amazing, difficult in my mind. In the second part of this verse, Job expressed confidence that God would bring him a positive change in him through his suffering, which is, again, kind of gets to me. Now, Job's hopeful view of his trials should be a lesson to all of us. We need to respond with faith that God will bring us through our trials as gold. I think we need to carry Job 23:10 in our heart so that we don't forget that He knows. That is, God knows. He knows the way that we take. He is declaring that He knows each and every one of us personally. He knows our thoughts and our ambitions. He knows our fears and motivations far more than we can conceive or imagine. He knows us now, and He knows us in eternity. God knows us better than we know ourselves. As Matthew 10:30 tells us, God knows the number of hairs on our head. Of course, that's not a hard task in my case. Six, yeah. Psalms 56, verse 8 says that God knows when we are crying and puts our tears in a bottle. God does not miss a single detail of our life. He hears our conversations with others. He knows our financial status. God knows our unspoken anxieties, even the things we can't quite put our finger on. God watches over us as we go through our trials. And He knows when to pour out His strength to help us the very moment we feel we can no longer go on. Let me share something that took place about a month ago with a close brother of ours in Christ. I received a phone call from one of our congregation who had just prayed with a brother who has struggled for a long time with health issues. This brother was unable to get much, if any, sleep at night. And this had gone on for a long time, and it was affecting his health. So I activated the prayer chain, and everyone began to pray that our brother would receive God's peace in his heart and be able to sleep at night. Later that same night, I received a call from our brother, who was not able to sleep, asking me to pray with him, as he was now unable to stabilize his physical health condition. So we prayed together. Now the very next morning, I received a call back from our brother, who we prayed for the night before, thanking everyone for their prayers. He said that he was able to get a good 7 hours sleep and had regained control of his health condition. So we prayed. We gave thanks to the Lord for answering our prayers. Now, at the time I received this phone call from my brother with his good news, I was preparing this message. I had just written down the following words: God knows our unspoken anxieties, even the things we can't quite put our finger on. God watches over us as we go through our trials. And God knows when to pour out His strength to help us the very moment we feel we can no longer go on. Okay, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5, and learn what the discipline of the Lord is. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5. Let's look at the first part of the verse. And have you forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons? Now, I like the New Living Translation for this part of verse 5, as it reads, "And have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as His children?" Using encouraging words, God spoke to you, instead of exhortation which speaks to you, is much easier for me to understand. Now we see in the second part of this verse what the encouraging words were that God spoke to us. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by Him. Now, I think at this time we should recognize that the second part of verse 5 is actually Proverbs 3:11. We also need to understand that Proverbs 3:11 was probably written by Solomon through the wisdom he received from God. So now let us examine Proverbs 3:11 and see what it's saying to us. Now the first part says, "Do not despise the chastening of the Lord." I believe we need at this time to define the words despise and chastening. The word despise here means don't regard or take lightly the chastening. Strong's definition of despise is to think round a thing, to turn over in the mind, to have thoughts beyond. Now the word chastening means the discipline or the teaching or training of the Lord. Strong's definition of chastening is the training of a child, including instruction. Jerry would know about that. Also, please make a side note at this time in your Bible that frequently the Bible uses the word discipline as meaning a trial. So let us sum up the first part of Proverbs 3:11 by simply saying, do not take lightly the discipline, or you could say the teaching or the training of the Lord. Now the second part of the verse states, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by Him. I think that all of us can understand this part of the verse. The word discouraged means not to become weary or give up. The word rebuke here refers to being corrected by God. So finally, what is verse 5 saying to us? I believe this verse teaches us that in our trial, not to take lightly the discipline that means the teaching or training of the Lord, and not to become weary or give up when we are corrected by Him. Let's read the definition of a trial once again before we continue. A painful circumstance allowed by God to change my conduct and my character. I think at this time it is important for all of us as Christians to clearly understand, and I think that everyone here does, God will allow challenging circumstances to take place in our lives for a reason. Our job is to trust Him and learn what He wants to do through us. We need also to avoid two negative responses to the Lord's work of discipline in our lives. Number one, remember that we must not take lightly His discipline. Number two, we must not become weary or give up. Let's look at verses 6 through 8 to find out why the Lord disciplines His children. I think Jerry knows this pretty well. Okay. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens, and scourges every son whom He receives. So, I'm not going to answer that. I think you know. So the first part of this verse tells us that the Lord chastens, or we can say discipline, the one He loves. The New Living Translation says it this way: for the Lord disciplines those He loves. This means we should never forget that if God allows our life to become hard, His motivation is always love. We also need to keep in mind that this is biblical love. This is the kind of love that is willing to take us through a valley to get us to the top of a hill. Now let's look at the second part of verse 6 where we see the word scourges. which means to whip or figuratively to punish. The New Living Translation says, and he punishes each one he accepts as his children. This means to me that because God is our Father and we are his children, he will spank us or punish us to make us better. So what have we learned from verse 6? I believe that we have learned that God disciplines us because he loves us, and it is done to make us better. We also need to remember that God never punishes us out of anger, as we may have done with our own children, or as we may have been punished by our parents. Right, exactly, in his holiness. Now, I think we should stop here and take a close look at our own situation. This is because the way forward is different if our hardship is a consequence of our own sin rather than a trial allowed by God. A consequence is the direct result of sin we have committed. And we need to know that the way out of a consequence is through repentance. At this time, I'm going to tell you a story, and I want you to tell me if this is a trial or a consequence. Now remember, this is just a story, okay? Once upon a time, I walked into Walmart to buy a new computer monitor because the one I had just quit. So I go find what I need and load it into my cart and head for the checkout line. I'll take time out here for a second. I think you all know that most men, when they go shopping, they go get what they need and get out as fast as they can. There's no looking around to see what's new or to visit with someone you might see. But anyway, we get what we need and get out. Okay, back to the story. Now, while I'm standing in line, I realize I have forgotten my billfold at home. So I get out of line and push my cart over by the ice machine next to the exit and look around to see if Wayne is working the front door. I find that he is working the front doors. So I think Wayne will not ask me for a receipt for the monitor. Guess what? He does. And he calls security. And then he calls the police, who comes and takes me to jail and locks me up with a really mean cellmate. So what do you think? Is this a trial or a consequence in my life? It's a consequence. This all happened because of my own sinful actions. Please remember, the way out of sin is through repentance. If we do something wrong, we need to make it right with God through repentance, and also with the people we have hurt through restitution. Now, a trial is a completely different thing. We don't bring a trial into our life. Let's once again look at the definition of a trial. A trial is a painful circumstance allowed by God to transform our conduct and our character. God himself allows trials to come into our lives. We need to also recognize that it's not always perfectly clear if we are dealing with a consequence or a trial. Just remember that the part we cause by our own bad choices needs to be resolved through repentance. Remember, God is teaching us that we need to embrace our trials and learn from them. Consequences we need to repent of and turn away from. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 7 and 8, and look at them both together to learn more about why God disciplines us. Verse 7. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom the father does not chasten? So this verse starts out by saying to us, if we endure God's discipline, God will treat us as His own children. And the second part of the verse is asking us if we have ever heard of a child who is never disciplined by his father. I think we need to look at verse 8 to get a clear understanding of what verse 7 is saying to us. But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Whoa. So I believe that verse 8 is saying to us that if we are not being disciplined by God, as all His children are, then we are illegitimate. Now, the big question that I see coming from verses 7 and 8 is, if any of us is thinking that all this talk about trials is interesting, but everything is going great in my life and has for a long time, I have no real problems of any kind, my family is great, the kids are perfect, I got money in the bank, and the doctor says I'm in great shape. Well, I hate to tell you, that's not good news for you. Because all God's children receive discipline. If you have no trials in your life at all, not ever, you may need a reality check at this time in your life. You may want to see if you are part of God's family through faith in Christ Jesus. Now, I believe that this is not the case for anyone here. But I do believe that at times we have all had thoughts about our lives being easier before we became part of God's family. That was when we did not have Christ in our life and all this stuff was not happening to us. But remember, during those times, we were so clueless and we did not have the whole picture. We really didn't know where we were going. We also didn't have any of the big answers for anything in life. Now, there is no question in my mind that most of the sons of this world have it easier for a season. But then, unfortunately, if they do not come to faith in Christ, it soon all goes downhill really fast. I find it sad to think about the tragic end that awaits those who reject Christ. Now, let's not forget that part of being in God's family means He is working on us to make us better. Also remember that life is really short. We will be here only a little while longer. So let's try to get the full benefit out of our trials. Life is short, but eternity is very, very long. Now let's move on to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9, and learn how we should respond to the Lord's discipline. Verse 9. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? Okay, this verse starts out by saying that our earthly fathers disciplined us, and we respected them. I think that we need to remember that during the time the book of Hebrews was written, that almost everyone had a father that took interest in their training and their development. I'm sad to say that in today's culture, we have an epidemic of fatherless children. These children get very little or no discipline and have no one that takes an interest in them. But let us be thankful that there are no fatherless children in God's family. We also need to look at the meaning of the word respect in the first part of verse 9. The word respect here literally means it turns us around. So I believe that the first part of verse 9 is saying that our earthly fathers disciplined us to turn us around. Now, I can remember my dad saying things to me like, you're going to learn your spelling words before you go outside with your friends. And he would also say, you need to clean up your room first before you can go to the movies. Or, I told you not to ride your bike to the park. Now it's gone. Now I think that most all of us have said this at least once in our life. The older I get, the more I realize how little I knew when I thought I knew it all. Now let's look at... Yeah. 13, 15, somewhere in there. Now let's look at the second part of verse 9 that says, shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? Now here we see the word subjection, which means to submit. So this part of verse 9 is saying to us, we should much more readily submit to the Father of our spirit and live forever. Okay, let's sum up what verse 9 is saying to us. First, our earthly fathers disciplined us to turn us around in a better direction, and we did submit to them. And second, we should be ready to submit even more to the discipline of our Heavenly Father and live forever. I think that in our trials, one of the most difficult things for us to do is admit that God is right and that we are wrong. I think we also struggle with admitting that we have a problem and that is our fault. Now, what is the result of the Lord's discipline in our lives? Let's go to Hebrews 12. Verse 10. For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now here again, this verse is talking about our earthly fathers disciplining us as they see best for a short time. But God's discipline is for our own good, and His purpose is to profit us so that we can share in His holiness. Let's remember that we must do two things in order for God to turn us around and be partakers of His holiness. First, we have to admit we are wrong. And second, that God is right, and that He is the perfect parent. Now let's go to Hebrews 12, verse 11, to see how to make the most of the Lord's discipline. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So here, the first part of verse 11, we are being told that no discipline is fun while it is happening to us. And it is painful. I think we can all agree with this. Right, Jerry? Now I know at first, when God disciplines me, I can only focus on the pain I'm feeling and how I'm going to get out of it or how to stop it. My next thought is, how did this happen to me? And why? Me? And why now? And it never crosses my mind to think about what will come later. Now let's look at the second part of verse 11 that says, nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Now, it says, for those who have been trained by it. I believe that means those who have submitted themselves to it. I believe that's the meaning. So the second part tells us basically that after the pain, the profit will be immense for those who have submitted themselves to it. So we need to see that God is training us to remember that the pain will not last forever. God wants us to focus our thoughts on the better days ahead, and that His training will yield us the peaceful fruit of righteousness. We also need to understand that the promise of the peaceful harvest is conditional for those who have been trained by that. In other words, those who have submitted themselves to it. We need to see clearly that God's trials are for the purpose of training us how to live in a more practical and godly way. So, let's not waste our time going through the pain of a trial for no purpose. We need to keep in mind that the pain has good purpose. So let's get it right the first time. Now, what have we learned tonight? I think that we have learned to look at our trials as training to make us better and be able to experience the peaceful fruit of God's righteousness. First, we must have the desire in our hearts to want to be partakers of God's holiness. Let's remember Job 23:10 and be thankful that God knows the way that we take. And give thanks that by God's grace and Spirit, He promises when He has tried us, we shall come forth as gold. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm counting on it. And I'm resting in it. Thank you.